Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Monday, February 20th, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. Lisa, there's so much going on.
You bet.
Let's jump right into it.
Well, the March for 9/11 Truth is well underway. It began at 10 a.m. this morning at Ground Zero in the blustery February weather. And about 40 to 50 protesters, I guess, showed up for this event. They ended up marching to Democracy Now, or should we say Disinformation Now, offices, Amy Goodman's show.
And everyone remembers last Friday we had Greg Nixon on, who gave a riveting interview about what's going on. And what happened up in New York?
They're trying to get Amy Goodman to give them an interview. And at first we got word that she had acquiesced and allowed some in for an interview, and then Nico Haupt contacted us and said, no, it looks like she hasn't. We'll get further details on that from Greg Nixon in the next couple of days. But they were shouting outside her windows, war criminals, war criminals. And they are very motivated activists, and it looks like things are going pretty well. We had hoped the numbers would be higher, but the weather is very cold, and the word never did really get out so well.
I think it's great that they're shining a light of exposure, finally, on Amy Goodman. And what confounds me, and the question we've been asking for years now, is where is the left in regard to 9/11? Where are the Democrats? Mm-hmm. Where are the liberals? Where are the progressives? Why are they so silent about what's going on?
Yeah, according to Nico, just a little while ago, the protesters were protesting in front of Rudy Giuliani's offices, and they've been followed around by some police. It says they're trying to get into Giuliani's offices. Some cops plus security outside are trying to block this effort, and Greg will later improve or correct some of these details. He said it was very loud on the phone. He couldn't understand everything Greg Nixon was telling him, so we will get more information on this.
Right. Also now, it was only a matter of time until the criticism of this new Professors for 9/11 movement began. We've been very quiet about it. We interviewed Jim Fetzer, Professor Fetzer, last week, and we've just been taking a stand back and watch approach. So what we're doing today is we're going to bring you this information with some of our commentary and some of our ideas about how we can help this new Scholars for 9/11 Truth. The first critical article that came out was last Friday, I believe, or maybe it was even yesterday. It was written by Greg Szymanski. And the title of this article was, Is Professor Jones for Real, or Is He Leading Truth Seekers into a Den of Wolves? This was a highly critical article, and you can find it at arcticbeacon.com. Then yesterday, late last night, Nico Haupt released an analysis, I guess, right? An analysis of the primary members of Scholars for 9/11 Truth. And
he focused on full-fledged members and associate members.
Right. And I don't even know where that can be found, but I went over it today. And what we're doing right now is we're going to just give this information to you. And he basically did an analysis to determine if these individuals were gatekeepers, if they were infiltrators, and so forth, or if they were basic sellouts right from the start.
And he also included those he figured are our best hope.
Right, right. And then also then, and we think, now this is a step in the right direction, Professor Stephen E. Jones from Brigham Young University recently called for, over the weekend, a Watergate-style investigation of 9/11. Now that's what we said to Professor Fetzer, wasn't it, that we have to somehow get this into a court of law and hopefully prosecute the bastards that did it.
Yeah, but hopefully we'll have a higher standard for this one than there was for Watergate.
Oh, absolutely. And I don't like the sound of something like a Watergate-style investigation, because I think that implies that somehow the government, again, is going to be the ones leading the investigation.
Investigating itself.
And when we look at the Warren Commission, when we look at the 9/11 Whitewash Committee, when we look at all the committees that investigated Bill Clinton and down through the line, we see that every one of them has been a farce. But we do need to get these people into a court of law. Well, last Friday on John Stadtmiller's show, He was very critical of this idea. He said that he didn't like the sound of it and that we should be veering off in a different direction. So,
which direction is that?
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure what that is, but we think that getting this case into a court of law with all of the evidence we have is a step in the right direction. Now, the biggest problem is getting it into the proper or correct court of law, you know?
Right, and getting the corresponding media attention it deserves.
Yeah, and the way I see it is, if we don't get it into any court of law, we have 0% chance of a conviction. So anything that gets into a court of law at least raises our hopes somewhat of a conviction and bringing these bastards to justice.
Yeah, Nico also was raising some issues with the Scholars for 9/11 Truth Group, mainly wanting to know what direction are they intending to go in, mm-hmm. What kind of action, if any, do they plan to take, or are they going to be doing pretty much the same old thing that everyone else has been doing up to now, mm-hmm. Mostly everyone,
yes.
Speeches and posting articles and material on their website. We need to branch out beyond posting and making speeches and speaking with our peers.
Yeah. Now, I think Greg Nixon last Friday, the best point he made during this interview was he said, we already know the truth. How many more articles do we need to prove the truth? I mean, we've been in this right from literally day one. We've seen everything unfold in the 9/11 movement. There's hundreds, maybe thousands of articles out there that prove that the government's version of events about 9/11 is not only a lie, but that they were directly responsible for coordinating it, planning it, and executing it. So we don't need more articles. And we think that Nico has a valid point. And when
right.
we had Professor Fetzer on Wednesday, we said, Jim, what is your plan? What's the course of action? Because if they're saying all we want to do is increase awareness and write articles, that's not going to get us any further than we are.
That's just soapboxing.
Yeah.
And Professor Fetzer seemed very encouraged
open.
And open to the idea of protesting yep. alongside of us or appearing at Ground Zero on 9/11 this coming September.
Right, and he said that he was going to broach this idea
right.
with the group.
But from all appearances, it doesn't look as though he has yet. I've just corresponded with one of the members, Tracy Blevins, of that group, and she had no idea about it.
Yeah.
So I don't know why Professor Fetzer hasn't broached this yet with the group. But interestingly enough, some of these other scholars for 9/11 Truth are involved in other ways to get the word out about 9/11 and to get the media to end its self-censorship and start talking about these issues. And one person in particular, Benjamin Pritchard, he's a software engineer and he was an associate member of Scholars for 9/11 Truth. I say was because Jim Fetzer has now suspended and removed him from the group because he is organizing people to protest naked in NPR parking lots of NPR affiliates across the country in order to get the mainstream media to end its self-censorship and give them an open door to start talking about 9/11 Truth by initially focusing on the 9/11 Truth movement itself.
And you know what? I like how these individuals are focusing on the left press. Because we know that the Republicans aren't going to investigate George Bush, Dick Cheney, and the rest of their ilk. We know that people like Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly, Fox News, Mike Gallagher aren't going to investigate their own, basically.
Right.
They're nothing but propaganda mouthpieces. But where are the groups on the left, all the left bloggers, NPR, and so forth and so on? Where is the left? And they are the ones that should be focused and targeted because they spout off all day long, crybabying, whining, moaning about how horrible the Bush administration is, yet they've been absolutely, positively silent about 9/11.
Right. Regarding Benjamin Pritchard, an article was written about what he's doing with the Naked for 9/11 Truth protest that he's trying to organize. And the name Scholars for 9/11 Truth was mentioned in association with him and these protests in this article. Well, Professor Fetzer took issue with that and has subsequently suspended and removed Benjamin Pritchard from the Scholars for 9/11 Truth group. because of that association. He said, we are not naked activists, we are scholars. Well, Professor Fetzer, I'd like to ask you a question. Since you're not naked activists, what about fully clothed activists?
Yeah.
Would you be into that?
If we can't get this organization behind a huge rally at Ground Zero this September 11th, then we have no hope of pushing forward again. And how many times have we been disappointed in this movement? First of all, there was Mike Rupert, who came on, and he was going to be the savior, the king of the hill. Well, everybody knows what a dismal failure Mike Rupert was. We also had 911truth.org, and we had the Sandow and Patchouli crowd out on the left coast. We have these gatekeepers out in Denver, Colorado, who are doing everything possible to keep certain 9/11 truth speakers from speaking. So we're coming to you and asking you, do you think we should be giving this information to you and that everything should be done now in a very transparent way? In other words, lay everything on the table, because do we want to be disappointed again?
No, and that's the thing. We've been hampered at every turn. Whenever we try to put our hope in somebody who seems promising and genuine and sincere, they somehow turn out to be completely the opposite.
Yeah.
We have to start relying more on ourselves and putting less faith in these people who stand up and decide they're going to be our speakers and our leaders, because they're not leading us anywhere productive for the most part.
Well, and when I was going over this list of members in the Scholars for 9/11 Truth, and Nico pointed this out, that almost none of them have even written articles about 9/11 or had any of their research published, if any research has been done whatsoever. And that's very troubling to me, because I know how many people have researched this subject and have published voluminously on it. Well,
you know what was unsettling to me? In my email exchange with Tracy Blevins, another member of 9/11 Scholars for Truth, she characterized Nico as either an internet geek or as a COINTELPRO operative. Mm-hmm. Now, is this because he's come out with his assessment and analysis? He knows a lot of people in this movement. He knows everybody. And for her to characterize Nico in this way, when she's very new, admittedly, on her own, she admitted this, she's very new to this movement, and she joined it because she wants to get speakers in at her university.
Yeah. Well, and you made a good point before the show, Lisa, is that there's been people in this movement from day one. And when they see something new formed, they're saying, wait a second now, do you think... Everybody watching the show today, do you think we should be asking questions? Do you think it should be transparent?
Right.
And here's another thing that I'm going to ask, is we know how many of these groups have been infiltrated by gatekeepers, by obvious red herrings, by limited hangouts, and on and on and on. Do you think it's fair for us and for you to want to know if this type of behavior is happening in a new movement? Now, if it is, let me ask you this. Is there anything wrong with us wanting to keep the gatekeepers and the infiltrators out of the movement? And is there anything wrong with asking questions?
No.
What do you think?
There's nothing wrong with asking questions, and I don't care who you are, if you're Joe Blow on the street or if you're a scholar in an ivory tower. Nobody's above questioning. And what was unsettling even more so to me was the responses to Nico Haupt's analysis were starting to lean toward the defensive side rather than give the man some honest, direct, concise, straight-up answers. That's all he wants to know. I mean, we have no blind trust in anyone.
Yeah.
And these people within the group, I believe a lot of them don't even know each other. So why should they even have this blind trust in each other?
Yeah.
Until someone, you know them well, and they've proven their trustworthiness to you, I'd say, don't just afford them blanket trust.
Yeah. And we have a suggestion, a way to help. It seems like, at least from my perspective, there's a touch of naivety to the Scholars for 9/11 Truth, because it doesn't seem like they're focusing a whole lot on keeping this disinformation out of the movement. And here's a perfect example. Today, or I guess it was yesterday, they posted an article that came from Counterpunch. Now, Counterpunch is notorious for refusing to touch 9/11. We even invited both of their, I guess, primary writers, Alexander Coburn and Jeffrey St. Clair, mm-hmm. onto this show at different times, and both of them blew us off
at the last minute.
They've never done anything with 9/11. So the scholars for 9/11 Truth posted an article that was called Half a Dozen Questions About 9/11 That They Don't Want You to Ask. I'm just going to read the title of these questions and let you decide if this is on the mark. Number one, who is Osama bin Laden and where did he come from? Here's a clue. Osama bin Laden didn't do 9/11. No. Anything that's bringing up Osama bin Laden is a red herring. Number two, when were Osama's last non-hostile links with the U.S. government? Again, Osama bin Laden.
Are you starting to get the idea why Nico has his doubts and concerns?
Yeah. Number three, how did the President of the United States react to the August 6, 2001 presidential daily brief? Number four. Oh, I lost number four somewhere. Oh, right here. Number four. Who wrote the script for the rhetorical response to 9/11? What the hell does that even mean? That's just nothing but wordplay. Number five. Why did the mysterious anthrax attacks come and go like a wraith? Well, we know that's all a hoax. That's old stuff. And number six. Again, why did Osama bin Laden escape? They're focusing on Osama bin Laden, and the scholars are linking to this article.
Yeah.
It's unnecessary and it's very, very alarming to us. So here's one of my suggestions. What this Scholars for 9/11 Truth needs is a department of anti-gatekeepers, anti-red herrings, and anti-limited hangouts. And since we're in tune with this stuff as much as anybody out there, we wrote a 350-page book called No More Illusions that covers the whole thing from A to Z. We're right now offering our services to let this organization know that we can't keep posting this kind of crap. What do you think of that idea?
I don't understand why stuff like that is even on there. And if you look on their website, there's some other things on there that seems more like red herring material than anything else. Yeah. What I don't understand is why they aren't fully supporting an individual's efforts to get the word out in any way possible. Even if the rest of the group doesn't want to partake in it, they don't want any association now with Benjamin Pritchard because of some other efforts that he was doing individually, just because he's a member and they don't want the association.
Yeah.
You know, any way we can get the word out, we should be partaking in. And we don't all want to get naked in February in NPR parking lots, but those of you who do should do
it. More power to you. Yeah. And it's like I was telling Lisa before the show, if you start a hospital, you want to get the best brain surgeon, the best heart surgeon, the best eye surgeon, the best cardiologist. You want to get the people that are the best in their fields. Well, when it comes to sniffing out gatekeepers, we're as good as they come. We know we are. And we want to offer our services because here's the bottom line. Do you want another one of these organizations to be infiltrated? Because you know 911truth.org has their radar up now and they give their left arm to be able to weasel their way in, wouldn't they?
Yeah, but it seems like they're being kind of co-opted, taken over, or just fading to black.
Well, 911truth.org has now basically become obsolete.
Yeah.
I mean, they're so discredited that nobody even pays them any attention anymore. And they are going to have some kind of rally this spring in, as Greg Nixon said, Chicago? Wait a second.
The O'Hare Airport.
Yeah, something like that. So, Lisa, is the World Trade Center Towers in Chicago?
No.
Is Ground Zero in Chicago?
Nope.
Then what the hell are they doing going to Chicago? This is the same group that tried to get everybody away from Ground Zero last fall. Do you see their modus operandi?
We can't stress enough the importance of being at the emotional epicenter of 9/11 when you protest. It is critical that you be there. And yeah, we can stage local protests all any part of the country, but on 9/11,
that's
the most important place to be, is ground zero.
Yeah, exactly.
And these scholars for 9/11 Truth know that. And yeah. Professor Fetzer thought it was a grand idea when he was on our show. So, Professor Fetzer, we really hope that you are going to broach this to the members of your group. And I know we know some of the people in that group.
Oh, absolutely.
And we've been talking with them ourselves. So we hope that you all get taken up. Professor, I guess Tracy Blevin said she would be happy to come out on 9/11 and protest.
And there is increasingly mainstream coverage of this issue. Maxim magazine just put out an article called What Really Brought the Towers Down, and it was kind of all over the place, but it's still at least putting some of the proper information out there.
I don't think we should discourage people or criticize them or punish them for being creative in finding ways to get the word out. Even if we don't agree with the way they're doing it or their method, you don't have to participate in that activity. But don't discourage someone else or punish them.
And here's the final thing. We talked about transparency. We want all of this stuff on the table. We want it so everybody can see it, including you. And Lisa is the one that has the best statement. She says, truth can't hurt a truth movement. So if we're coming out to you, laying this on the table, and we're saying, what are your plans in the future? What are you going to do? Are you going to become active? Are you going to try to get a lawsuit into the court of law? And we like Jim Fetzer a lot.
Yeah,
think the guy's great. And he's done some of the best research there's been on the Kennedy assassination, on Paul Wellstone's murder, down the line.
But I'm telling you right now, speeches and soapboxing isn't going to cut it anymore. We've had plenty of speeches, plenty of soapboxing. We're not getting any farther ahead. Creativity is welcome. And we need to accept that there's lots of different ways to get the word out.
Yeah.
And we don't have to subscribe to political correctness. I know that the scholars want to maintain their decorum and all that.
And that's fine, but we can do many things here. And I hope you all understand that we're not trying to be critical today. We're trying to lay everything on the table. We're basically trying to figure things out in front of the camera and trying to have you help us come to some of these decisions. We've been in this too long now, and it's going to be 5 years this fall. As Greg Nixon said on Friday, the next big one is around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, it's going to change the world again. Do we want to wait for that to happen? Do we want to just say what we're doing now in regard to 9/11 is enough? If it is enough for you, well, then we're going to have to politely disagree because it's not good enough for us.
Right.
We need a dialogue. Yes, we need to increase awareness, but we also need to notch it up one. And, there's a lot going on. We're bringing it to you.
And we certainly
the way it should be.
The 9/11 scholars are listening and will take what we're saying very seriously because we do like them and we do think that they can accomplish great things and that we all need to work together.
And we're behind
them. And we hope that we'll have mutual back and forth support of each other's work.
And as I said at the beginning of the show, the criticism is now beginning. And it isn't coming from us.
No.
It's coming from people like Greg Zemanski and so forth.
Well, people are noticing. They want to know what you're doing, and they're watching them.
Yeah.
And if they don't accomplish anything and they start throwing a bunch of red herring stuff out for the public and they don't want to take any kind of action and then punish other people who do, it's going to raise some eyebrows, and people are going to ask questions, and people have a right to have answers to those questions.
Yeah. And Lisa said yesterday, too, Lisa's great at these little sound bites. She said, if you combine truth with disinfo, you end up having disinfo. And when they're putting an article on there, like this one about Osama bin Laden from Counterpunch.
Didn't they publish the thing about the Super Bowl, too?
Yeah, and the Super Bowl.
The terror alert.
Which was nothing but a hoax, you know. So if we're going to be serious about 9/11, and we're going to do our show Wednesday, Lisa, because this coming Thursday night, Jim Fetzer, along with Morgan Reynolds, who we love, and David Ray Griffin, who gave a beautiful blurb for 9/11 on trial, they're all going to be on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. And I think on Wednesday what we're going to do is what we would do if we were on Coast to Coast AM. the things we would say, and hopefully we'll relay this stuff. Because I talked to Jim Fetzer last night, and I said, you got to be careful of Nori, because one thing he's going to do is try to guide you back to the whole Osama bin Laden thing. And real quickly, before Wednesday's show, I would say immediately, as soon as the interview started, Osama bin Laden didn't do 9/11. He wasn't behind it. There was a cabal within our government that planned, coordinated, and executed it. Now, George, that's the basis for this interview. If you ask one question about Osama bin Laden, I'm going to throw it off the table, because Osama bin Laden didn't do it, and Professor Fetzer should make that known immediately.
Right. It'll be very interesting to see the direction that interview takes.
And we're going
to
be listening tomorrow.
Very closely.
We're going to have Visigoth on our show. He's one of the best there is out there at what he does. So tune in for that. And folks, just remember, there's a lot going on. Keep your eyes open, because it's vitally important that we move now in the proper direction. We'll see you tomorrow.
Have a good one.